The last two Sundays, we looked at two incredible gifts that God has chosen to give us. The first Sunday of Advent, we looked at the gift of hope. No matter how difficult the days may be, no matter how steep the uphill climb, and perhaps no matter how tragic the unexpected twists and turns of life bring us, Jesus reassures us that there is more, much more, for those who believe in him. We have, by God's grace, the gift of hope. We know that there is more to come. We know that God is working within his people. It's not a wishful thinking kind of hope, but it's a certainty. It's a surety. And then last Sunday, we focused on the gift of love, the love of God. God's love was not just a feeling towards us. It was an action. God showed the full extent of his love. He sent his son, who became a sacrifice for our sins. Those are all actions. This was how God demonstrated, the Bible says, demonstrated his love for us, and that he sent his son to become a sacrifice for our sins. This morning, we're going to look at a third gift. And if you've been following along our Advent candles, you could probably guess by now that it's the gift of joy. And for this, I'd like to focus on a passage of scripture that we don't normally turn to during Advent. And that's in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, Jesus is speaking. And this is what he says. He says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." I really appreciate this passage because it links the focus on love from last week with the focus on joy for this week. Last week, we concluded with a reading from Romans 8, which I read again this morning, that describes how nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Just grasp that for a moment. God loves you. Period. End of sentence. God loves you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've dealt with. Doesn't matter how many twists and turns life has brought, or you have brought upon yourself, perhaps. God loves you. That's awesome. And yet here in John chapter 15, we find an intriguing statement that has a qualifier. It says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." And at first glance, you know, that's a bit of a head scratcher. Because Norm, you just said that nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And here in John chapter 15, it says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." On the one hand, we know that there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. But on the other hand, we have the capability of walking away from the love of God or remaining within it. In other words, God will never stop loving you. He will never stop loving you. But you or I could very well push ourselves away from God's love. And how do we do that? It's when we aren't walking in obedience to him. Let me illustrate from my own life. When I was young, long time ago, I know, no jokes. When I was young, I always knew that my mother loved me. It was never in doubt. It was absolutely never in doubt. But if I wasn't listening to her, if I wasn't obeying her, if I knew I was going against what she had said or wanted, then I didn't feel right inside myself. Even though I knew she loved me, that was never in doubt, I created an animosity in my own heart when I wasn't obeying her. See that? And that's how God's love works towards us. God loves you. That won't change. But if we, as followers of Christ, decide to go our own way and do our own thing instead of walking in obedience to God, then we're putting ourselves in a position away from God, and we're not going to enjoy the presence and the peace of God in our lives. You see, we do it to ourselves. Even Samuel in the Old Testament had to point out and remind Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul, you can do all the sacrifices you want, but if you're not obeying the Lord your God, it's all in vain. Obedience is an essential part of our relationship with God. Ritual will never replace obedience. What does that have to do with joy? Going back to John chapter 15, which we read a few moments ago, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have loved my Father, and just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And then Jesus says, I have told you this instruction to remain, to obey commands, it'd be nice if I can read. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There's a direct connection between obedience and joy. When we do obey God's commands, when we do choose to live according to God's word, that's when we will experience joy. We don't always choose to obey God's word. Truth is, there are some parts of God's word that we choose to neglect because it's costly or because it doesn't fit into my wants or my life or my desires. There's a direct connection between obedience and joy. When we do obey God's commands, that is when we will experience joy. Joy is a gift from God. Actually, Galatians chapter 5 refers to joy as the fruit of the Spirit, the second, only after love. Love, joy. As we obey God's commands. I know that doesn't sound very nice, you know? I mean, we're in the 21st century, and you know, we're the master of our destiny, and we can do what we want, and nobody tells me what to do, and all that kind of stuff. But scripturally, as we obey God's commands, we relish in the love of God, and our joy will be complete. It will be full. Jesus once said in John chapter 10, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Some translations will say, and have it to the full measure. When we choose to follow God's commands, we welcome the presence of God. Our life becomes full. The sad and ironic part of it is that many people believe the lie that following God takes the joy out of life. That if you follow God, you're not going to be able to experience life. And what's particularly sad about that is that it's just the opposite of the truth. When we do follow after God, when we do obey His commands, we welcome the presence of God. We can enjoy the presence of God. We can sense the love of God. And we are filled with joy from the inside. And we can truly, truly live. Not just some superficial happiness and smile based on our circumstances, but a deep-seated joy that comes from knowing and loving the Lord, experiencing His presence within us. There is nothing like it in the world. The best the world could offer is a counterfeit. It could never offer the real thing. I read in the news recently, you might have heard it as well on television, that Canada Goose, not the bird, but the parka company, Canada Goose is warning people about counterfeit parkas that are being sold as their own. The company posted this warning on their website. I'm reading it verbatim right off their website. This is what they said. They said, like many world-leading brands, you know, a little pat on the back for themselves, right? Like many world-leading brands, our success has led to our products being copied by counterfeiters. Unfortunately, it's all too frequent that we're asked if a counterfeit website is real or hear a story about someone who accidentally purchased a counterfeit parka online. Protect yourself and those you care about by buying only authentic Canada Goose products from an authorized retailer. If you're concerned about a website selling counterfeit merchandise or advertising an unauthorized Canada Goose sale, paste the URL below to check. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is. The message of that little warning really is that if you want something genuine, you need to be careful what your source is. You need to go to the right, authentic source. And if we're looking for peace and contentment in this crazy, mixed-up world, if we're looking for peace and contentment and genuine, real joy, deep-seated joy, we need to go to the source, because what the world has to offer is a counterfeit, at best, a temporary happiness instead of a deep, life-changing joy. Happiness and joy are not the same thing, not even close. Joy does not come because of our circumstances, what we have, who we're with, the shape of our bodies, our bank account, our accomplishments, or what other people say about us even. Joy comes because we are complete in the love of Christ. And that's exactly what we become, complete, full. I like that word, complete. There's nothing half-hearted about it. When we are complete in the love and joy of Christ, it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to hurt yourself or get sick or lose somebody that's close to you. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to always like you. But when you have the presence of God in your life, when you're truly walking in obedience to Him and His Word, then according to Luke chapter 6, verse 22, even if people hate you, even if people exclude you, even if people insult you or reject you, Jesus says you can still leap for joy. Now, those are not my words. They were my words. You can say, Norm, you're out of your mind. But those are Jesus' words. You see, joy is not something that's dependent on my circumstances and my surroundings. Joy is a gift of God, dependent on my relationship with Him, a relationship that is built on that word again, obedience. The problem, the challenge, I should say, that we have, and I include myself in this with each one of us, the challenge we have is we want the joy, but we don't want to pay the price of obedience. It'd be nice. I'd like to have that. I'd like to have the blessing of the peace of Christ and God's presence and the deep joy that is within me regardless of my circumstances. I see other people with that. I'd like that. But I don't know if I want to pay the price. And there are ifs in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Oh my, if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship, we become the church with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. There's an if there. A couple of verses later, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? We like that. Purify us from all unrighteousness. Purify us from all sin. But there's ifs there. And in John chapter 10, which we read earlier, verse 15, if we obey His commands, we will remain in His love and His joy will be complete in us. This beautiful Advent Sunday, we are reminded that Jesus came to bring joy into our hearts. He came so that we can experience genuine joy. Not a superficial grin that the world may put on. Genuine joy, deep-seated from God. It's His gift. Won't you receive it? But for us to fully embrace it, to fully experience it, we need to embrace the commands of our Lord to walk in obedience to His word. And as we think about wrapping up for this morning, I need to ask you, are you experiencing the gift of joy in your life? Not just a smile. It's easy to smile, and I appreciate your smile. Believe me, I do. Not just excitement or enthusiasm. Not just a bubbly or hyper personality. We often mistake that for joy, but it's not. But do you have the real gift of joy? The kind of joy that comes from a life being lived in obedience to God. If you want to find the real thing, you need to go to the genuine source. And that, my friends, is God. God's love for you, for me. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. God became man so that we can come to life within him. You won't find real joy in being a party animal. You won't find joy in an ungodly relationship. You won't find it in a new job or a new house or a new person. You won't find it in winning the jackpot lottery and becoming instantly wealthy. The only place you will find true, lasting, inner, and complete joy, the kind of joy that God himself wants to give you, the only place you will find this joy is in your surrender to God and his word. Not just hearing his word, but living it. And so I want to encourage you this morning. God wants to give you that gift of joy. But you need to put yourself in a position to receive it. And that is in submission to God, walking in obedience to God. And so as we close this morning, we would do well to ask ourselves if there is something in our lives that perhaps we haven't submitted to God. Is there some area in my life that I'm not walking in obedience to God and his word? And I know that's not a comfortable question to ask because we don't like the answer. But we need to ask it if we want to experience the blessing of God's presence and peace and joy to the full. I encourage you. I'm not implying anything here. Lord knows I've had my own challenges in life. But if there's some area in your life that you need to surrender to God, to give over to him, to walk in obedience to his word, don't delay. Give it to him today and be blessed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, I am reminded yet again just how much I need you. I am reminded, Lord, even through this message, Lord God, that how the things in my life that I choose to accept, if they're not in agreement with you and your word, Lord, that they're going to take the joy out of my life. Just as the time when I was young, and if I didn't walk in obedience with my mom, it just wasn't the same. And I pray, Father God, that for each one of us here today, that we would be people who can just celebrate your presence, relish in your love, and experience that joy. And I pray that you'd give us the courage this morning to face up, to own up to, if there is a part of our life that is not in agreement with you, that we would so acknowledge that, turn from it, ask you, Lord, to forgive us, to take that away from us, and to walk in a new way, Lord God, and experience the blessing of joy. This is our prayer. This is our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.